better than beer?
Can it be?
I love that.
I love craft beer.
Beer. Sparkling. Golden. Pure. A beverage as old as history.
I am passionate about craft beer.
Craft brewing is innovation.
Independence. Curiosity.
Collaboration. Character.
A fist. It's a craft beer devil.
Beer snob like a mother.
Hi guys, and welcome to episode 20 of the Irish Beer Snob podcast. My name is Janice, I'm your host, and beside me I have my beautiful husband, Wayne. Hi Wayne.
Well, you're only just saying that.
Well, we are recording on a very special occasion.
It's a landmark.
Yeah, 7 years married today. Who would have thought it?
Who'd have thought we'd have got to episode 20 of the podcast?
I know, episode 20, that's quite a biggie.
It's a big number, all right?
Yeah. I never thought we'd actually get to episode 20.
Why, did you think the first few were that bad, did you?
No, I just thought we would have caved by now, but it's actually, I'm enjoying it.
Good, good. So, happy anniversary, darling.
Oh yeah, happy anniversary.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's been a good 7 years so far. Here's to many more.
Well, that's it.
I ain't feeling itchy anyway.
I don't know, there's a bit of an itch on the shoulder now. Well, I suppose it's only fitting that we have a suitably special beer for this time around.
Well, in fairness, we had three special beers that we were keeping for our anniversary, and we put it out to you guys. We put it out in a poll on Twitter, and down to you lot, we have gone for this beer. The three options, though, were Brewdog Abstract 16,
yeah.
Abstract 18, and then this Brooklyn Brewery beer, this yeah. Monster.
Brooklyn Intensified Coffee Porter. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into this. We picked this up there last year. It was intentionally originally intended for Christmas Day dinner, but I think everyone had had enough by the time that it had come around to this.
It was, actually. It was for Christmas Day.
It's a suitably big one for the day that's in it. But, we're obviously only back from a brief trip to the UK, a bit of a whistle-stop tour of Scotland and England.
I have to say, it was one hell of an epic trip.
Yeah, it was. It was really good. I'm still pretty wrecked from it, I think, but I think that's just the remnants of a bit of a head cold. absolutely great time. But we'll get to talking about that in a bit more detail over the next while. At the end of this episode as well, we have a bonus interview with Bill Kowaleski from Victory Brewing. So we were lucky enough to sit down and grab Bill for 15 minutes of his time at the Brewdog Equity Punk AGM last weekend.
What a really nice guy, and thanks so much, Bill, for giving us your time.
And huge props to Amy in Four Corners who made that happen for us.
Absolutely.
Without that, we would not have met up with Bill and had a great interview, and also we shared a couple of beers with him later on.
Yeah.
So that was really good. Lots to cover off. The interview will be tacked on at the end, so make sure you stick around to listen to that. And I think we'll go through the usual. Is there any news?
Bit of news. Yeah, there's been a couple of bits happening this weekend. Even while we were away, we've been still touching base at home and keeping an eye on what's been happening.
So the world doesn't stop turning
exactly.
When we're away. I'm disappointed by this. This disappoints me.
One thing I am a little bit gutted we missed was the O'Hara's launch for their new beer. It's called Obsession?
Obsession.
Obsession.
Yeah.
Ops. Oh, okay.
Yeah, how Northern people say hops. Forget the H. That's Northern UK. Northern as in Yorkshire, not as in Northern Ireland. So it's a 4% session IPA made with American hops. That was launched in Tully's Bar in Carlow. So it's great to see them launching a beer close at home. No doubt Thomas McCarthy was able to go down there.
Oh, I hope he did. And I hope he got
volunteer.
Yeah, I hope he did get to go to a launch.
Volunteer as chief taster in IAMS. And they're also going to be pouring that this weekend at Belfast Beer Festival. So that's on from this Thursday to Saturday.
Yeah.
Up in Belfast there. So we'll have details on that in the show notes.
Yep.
Galway Bay had an interesting tweet earlier.
What a really interesting tweet earlier. They are going to give one person free beer for an entire year if they name the next location of their new bar. If they can secure.
So basically it's Find My Pub.
Basically, yeah.
For Galway Bay. Now, yeah. We obviously suggested Navan, so that would save us a lot of hassle. But yeah, no, obviously it's on the Twitter machine. I think it's undergone Jason's Twitter profile. So check that out. So I don't know, like, you never know. Like, I think they are, from talking to the guys, they are looking at branching out. Obviously, they have a huge presence in Dublin, Galway, and soon in Limerick they'll have a venue.
Personally, for me, I think it'd be nice to see them come outside of Dublin.
To Navan?
Yeah.
well, yes, I think it would be a real test of the greater strength of the market, I think, if Galway Bay opened in a regional town, like even if it was Dundalk or Drogheda, or even somewhere in Kildare, like Naas, or so, you know, somewhere that has a large population that probably commute in and out of the city anyway, it'd be a real test of the local market, and you know, like, hopefully then rising tide will lift all ships and encourage more breweries or publicans to kind of pick up more beer as they go.
And then another couple of pieces that have been happening as well is a couple of breweries are crowdfunding now, aren't they?
Yeah, so Mont Brewing, which is the Manor Brewing Company, which are based over Manor Kilbride in the Dublin Wicklow Mountains, a lovely part of the world. Remember it well from my days in the FCA. We used to go shooting up there. But yet they're doing a crowdfunding campaign on, it's either Indiegogo or Kickstarter. I'm not sure of which one.
Again, the link would be in the show notes.
But again, it's interesting to see that they're taking that approach. They have a fantastic space for a brewery up there. In an old bell tower building, and it's going to be renovated to a high standard to house a modern brewery. And our good friend Alain in Radicale is doing it slightly differently. He's actually offering equity in his business in return for an investment, and that's being done through seeders.com, S-E-E-D-R-S. We'll have the details and link in the show notes, but we are hoping to actually do an interview with Alain very soon, just to discuss what the plans and everything are.
And best of luck to both you guys with that.
So
also, I just have one thing I'd love to say, and it's a massive congratulations to one of my favourite breweries, and it is Brew Brewery, who took home 3 awards from the SMEs last night, and they won the overall Grand Prix, so they were the overall winner, so it's actually 4 awards, so well done to you guys.
Well done, lads. Yeah, and a lot of people we know were nominated, 8 Degrees, yeah, Mountain Man, The Taste as well.
57 the headline. Yeah, now, we didn't mention that in the last podcast, but it is great to see that Irish craft beer is recognised, and they've done really well for themselves.
Yeah, so congrats to all involved there. It looked like a good night from some of the pictures that were floating around.
I know, yeah, it looked like so much fun.
Now, do you want me to open that?
Yes, because there's no way in hell I'm going to be able to get that cork out.
So anyone who knows the Brooklyn Brewery, we all know Brooklyn Brewery, Brooklyn Lager, they release quarterly special editions. So this was quarter 3, 2015. So what we have here is a robust porter infused...
I'd like it if you didn't point towards my head.
...with Salvadorian coffee and aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels. So hopefully this doesn't gush all over my keyboard.
Woo!
Oh, this actually... It's a great smell there.
I'll be keeping the cork now for my little collection.
Yeah, so these things, they're not cheap, but they're also big bottles. 750ml be a good share between 3 or 4 people.
Or the 2 of us over the course of the rest of the evening.
Just wish we had some blue cheese to go with this now, and a cheese and meat board maybe.
I don't have cheese, but I do have chocolate.
You just want me to tap that up for you there?
It's actually the remnants of an Easter egg.
Well, yeah, like chocolate is chocolate, I suppose, at the end of the day. So we're going to have a look at this now. This is looks quite carbonated. The head has disappeared completely.
Completely.
But there's an unmistakable Kentucky bourbon nose there.
Can't even see through it, like it's completely black.
Well, it's 11.8%.
Oh, good grief.
Definitely getting the cold brew coffee in there. Real strong vanilla. Bit of definitely lots of oak from the bourbon barrels that it's been resting in for a few months. But yeah, so...
It's a beautiful smell.
I think we picked this up in the wine house in Trim before
Christmas, didn't we, with the Christmas swag.
I'm just trying to agitate a bit ahead just to see.
Mine's like completely gone.
I'll just take a couple of mouthfuls.
Well, no, you didn't even say sláinte.
Sorry.
Sacked.
Cheers, sláinte. It's definitely quite boozy on the nose.
Oh, but it's a lovely smooth finish. You can really get the bourbon coming through on the taste as well.
Yeah, like it's a great smelling beer. It actually tastes so well blended together. Now, it's a little bit cold, I think, still. I did take it out of the fridge a good while before we started. But while we're supping, we shall be yapping.
Well, now I have to say, we just have to talk about this trip. We just have to tell you guys how epic it actually was. I've got quite a few highlights, but obviously the BrewDog AGM was one of them.
Yeah, like, it's our second year at the BrewDog Equity Punk AGM. So, obviously, we've been there before. Our flight times kind of worked out nicely that we got to the AGM just as the business briefing bit started.
After we went straight for the beers, I had to go and get myself Cloud Water Dipper Volume 3. I just had to. Version 3, sorry. I just had to. That had to be the first drink.
Dipper V3, don't think it lasted more than a couple of hours on keg.
No.
Yeah, I obviously went straight for Born to Die. It was quite an interesting side-by-side on the two beers in particular. I know I slightly preferred Born to Die because I prefer my double IPA to be bitter. Really bitter.
I really loved the fruitiness of the Cloud Water. It was just amazing. It was just so tasty, so juicy.
Yeah, like what I actually found fascinating about the Dipper, particularly, was like the guys in Cloud Water have been very open about how they make the beer. Like they were on Johnny Garrett's beer channel on YouTube, giving how we make it in advance, and then obviously they released the recipe previously as well as BrewDog, obviously with Born to Die. But they're very transparent, and they did mention that this time around, rather than using a typical US05 yeast, they used Vermont yeast. So for those beer tickers out there, Vermont yeast would be synonymous with Heady Topper by Alchemist, which is, you know, it's one of those ultra rare beers. It's quite hard for us to find on this side of the world, but people over in the States get to try it regularly.
We even got to meet.
Made it really juicy.
We got to meet the guys as well, because we actually went to a tasting by Cloud Water, and they are so friendly. They're so really nice.
Yeah, like it's great to actually have that opportunity to chat to guys, particularly of breweries we don't get over here. So hopefully, you know, we'll see Cloud Water on our shelves in the near future. But the
one thing I do want to know is that beanie hat available on the online store?
Well, we'll just have
or
to
do
check.
They have an online store?
I think they do, yeah. So obviously the BrewDog AGM took up the best bulk of the day. One of our favourite bands, Idlewild, was playing, but there was numbers of other bands on the day. We bumped into the guys from Four Corners, shared a few beers with them.
Met a couple of our Twitter followers and people that we follow and everything,
so really
as well,
nice.
Which is really good. It was nice to see Sparky Wright. We met Blue Zulu as well. It was really good fun.
Yeah, and Pete McCary and Jules from Beer Revere in Sheffield. So it was really good to meet a lot of people that we've talked to and dealt with on Twitter.
And it was so bizarre, just people coming up and saying, "Oh my God, you must be now. Can I have a photo?" It's like, yes, please.
Yeah, well, I've had that myself, so it's probably, it takes a bit of getting used to.
Unusual.
So Aberdeen is right up on the north coast. For the people who don't know, the northeastern tip of Scotland, a lot of oil and petrochemical business up there. So we were staying right smack bang in the middle of Aberdeen. So afterwards, we ended up in Cask, as you do. The next day, bit of brunch in Moosa, which was really, really good.
Oh, that was lovely. I had the eggs Benedict.
Eggs Benedict.
I just had
the dry-aged sirloin in a bap with mustard and onion marmalade.
Mine was paired with McKellar Milk Stout, which was really nice.
Yeah, a little bit sweet for me.
A little bit sweet for me as well, but it did take me a little while to drink it as well. Mm. Yours, however, was lovely. And then you started to struggle after you found out it was like 9.5% or something.
You just shouldn't have told me that. It was 12 o'clock, well, 1 o'clock.
It was 1 o'clock in the
day. It was our first drink of the day after having really nice coffee and Cask.
So then we had a wee walk around Aberdeen, went into a few other bars.
Yeah, so like there was obviously, you were pretty impressed by the grill and the Timothy Taylor landlord on Cask.
Well, no, I was happy I found Timothy Taylor. I don't know if I was impressed with the grill.
It was quite an event, I suppose, in terms of it was a proper pub that the Aberdeen people drink in. So like we're quite lucky that we're right actually next to or not too far away from Brewdog Castlegate and 6 Degrees North, which I'd not been in previously, but was really impressed by their bar and how bright and airy it was, and the food looked really good.
Place, yeah, what a really nice place.
So, like, yeah, Aberdeen, definitely nice place to go for a weekend.
Then we headed off to Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, on a train.
On a train, yeah, that was fun. Uncomfortable, but fun. Took a while. Longer than I thought it would.
Yeah, 2.5 hours, it was slow enough. But gave us a chance to kind of relax before we hit up Edinburgh. Now, Edinburgh, never been there before, so it was time for me.
Yeah,
first time for you, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So we obviously met up with Paul, a friend of ours who lives and works in Edinburgh.
Yeah, we met him in the bar that he works in, the Bow Bar. Nice place.
Just off the grass market, yeah.
Yeah, we went in, we sat down, had a few beers, had a pie. Oh my God, the steak and blue cheese pie. £3. Where would you get it?
Exactly, yeah. I found Edinburgh quite even more expensive than Aberdeen, and I found Aberdeen expensive before previously.
But I found the food is more expensive, really, more so than the drink. Well, then we were being very sensible in drinking halves.
Yeah, I suppose.
Halves and thirds. Like that, I thought that the whole thirds thing, the third serving, I just thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to be going along on long days and long sessions drinking pints. Sure, it wouldn't last a day.
No, and it's something you see in really focused craft beer bars. So, like, we were obviously in the Hanging Bat.
That was a nice bar. It was comfortable. Some of the beers were quite good as well.
Yeah, they had quite a lot of cask on keg. I think the food menu, we didn't eat ourselves now, but the food menu did look pretty good. Just regret not having food. Mm. I suppose it's a bit hard to judge the atmosphere of the place because it was mid-afternoon on a Tuesday when we were in there, or was it Monday?
Monday
afternoon.
Yeah.
So like it was a bit hard to gauge the atmosphere, but just felt a little bit sterile and too clean for me. But you know,
well, there was nobody in the place.
Yeah, but it just, I don't know, just felt a little bit too clean.
From there, we went on to the Brewdog Bar, where we tried Shipwreck.
Yeah. What was it you described?
Tasted like turf. Get out of my mouth. Yeah. I didn't like it.
So for those that don't know, and have been living under a rock and not attached to any social media or anything, Shipwreck is the collaboration that Brewdog announced last year at the AGM that they were doing with Ballast Point. It's a big beer. There's been aged in 2 different types of whiskey casks.
Yeah,
they've had mezcal, agave put in there. And they released it just as Brewdog Versus, and then they've literally blanked out the name of the other brewery, Ballast Point. Now, the beer itself, it's good for what it is, but I wouldn't be racing back to try it. But yeah, like again, really good time in Edinburgh. So huge thanks to Paul for taking time out to show us around. But the dim sum.
Oh God, yeah, that dim sum was lovely. Now we did have a walk around. We did like take a day off the booze in Edinburgh as well, and we did actually spend our time walking around and looking at the sights and everything as well. Unfortunately, it was absolutely lashing rain, and we were wandering around wondering what to do, and we stumbled upon the museum. Well, I had great crack in there. I felt so cultured coming out of it. It was amazing.
Makes a big change. But yeah, no, Edinburgh is a lovely city, kind of medieval and Georgian.
I have to say, we did stay in a very, very nice B&B. It was called St. Valerie's.
St. Valerie, yeah, just near Haymarket train station, and so it was quite well connected.
It was so comfortable. The staff in there were lovely as well, so I really enjoyed that. And then on we went to London. We flew down to London on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we met Steve from the Beer O'Clock Show.
Yep, so thank you, Ryanair, for your ridiculously cheap flight prices. I think the 2 flights cost £34 to fly from Edinburgh to London. So the invitation was there from Steve, so thanks, Steve.
Wednesday was the absolute highlight, I think. Wednesday, yeah. Well, yeah, Wednesday and Thursday. London was the highlight for me of the holiday. The bottle share, the SX bottle share,
mm-hmm.
There was about, what, a good 8, 9... 10 of us at it.
I think there was 10 of us at the venue, yeah.
Yeah, and it was really, really nice to kind of have our own place and drink some beers with friends and meet people that we've been interacting with quite a bit over Twitter.
Yeah, like I suppose when we landed Steve said, "Oh, I've got a surprise for you," and he brought us by the Bird in the Hand to meet Sean. So that's Plim Sean on Twitter, and it was like it took me a second to twig who I was actually talking to, but then when I saw the name of the pub, I realised.
Well, I'm going to confess, I hadn't a clue who it was until we left.
Oh dear, but I must say it was a really nice half black IPA we had there that afternoon. So it was great to meet him. But the bottle share that night took place in the craft beer shop in Billericay. I think I've printed, or you know, Billericay.
I was just going to say, where's your Bianca accent?
Excuse me. So it took place in the craft beer shop, which is the bottle shop attached to Ales by Mail, which is obviously a really large online retailer. And the guys there were really good to have us and host us. They're giving us glassware and everything. It was great. It was really great.
So once again, cheers to Steve for organising that.
Yeah, and thanks to everyone who came along and brought really good and interesting beers. Mm-hmm. Like we wrapped up Ireland with 200 Fathoms
and Double Irish,
so the Irish were represented, and yeah, they went down very, very well. After that, we went up to a couple of the local boozers with Justin Mason, who's great to meet, and finally I've been interacting with Justin for a while now, and he totally was great fun to be around. So then Thursday itself was a cracking day. Started off with a nice slap up breakfast. Proper bacon.
The beer soaked bacon.
Yeah, that was delicious.
Yeah, it was good.
So London is, I suppose, probably as active a craft beer region as maybe the majority of Ireland. There's so much going on in London and things are popping up. You have to remember it's a city with a population of about 10 million in a really wide space. We've not been in London since 2009. Our wedding anniversary would be the last time. Oh, no, our wedding. Yeah, so, and even then we just got a train into, was it Claridge's for dinner?
Yeah, we didn't see much London at all, really.
No, so
it was just literally just Claridge's and then home.
It was great. It was great to go into London on the train for the day.
Yeah, great crack.
So the first stop on our trip...
Howling Hops.
Howling Hops Tank Bar. So Howling Hops are obviously a London brewery. They would have been, you know, serving their beer through a bar, and then they obviously got the opportunity to put a tap room into their, where they brew the beer. And it's, you know, the Franciscan Well in Cork?
Yeah.
Where they have the tanks and the taps literally are straight like that.
Yeah.
So for people trying to imagine that, like literally the beer is served straight out of the bright tank. It's not put through kegs or anything like that. It's literally the bright tank is filled with the brew, carved up and poured from there. So I think they have like 7 or 8 tanks. Now, sadly, the day we were there, they only had half of them on. But we had a couple of really good beers there. They also do, well, at least the smell of the barbecue indicated to me there was some serious food going on there. Sadly, we weren't eating there. It wasn't in the plan to eat.
So then we moved on to Mother Kelly's, which is a place that I've been absolutely dying to go to.
Yeah, so many people have talked about Mother Kelly's for a long time, like to us, saying, this is, you have to go, if you go to London, you have to go here. So, in Bethnal Green, an old railway arch, they've turned it into like a bottle and tap bar with a huge range of bottle and cans in fridges, but also, was it 20-something taps?
Mm-hmm.
But again, I love seeing it. It's just simple things done really well.
Enjoyed a nice cider in there, actually.
Yeah, the Saison. Not Saison, Berliner Weiss I had was delicious.
Oh, that was lovely. That had, what was that one, mint and something?
Raspberry and mint Berliner
Weiss.
Oh, that
was lovely.
And it looked like a real pink fruity cocktail thing.
You put the pictures up on your Instagram.
So if you see a pink glass floating around on Instagram with Mother Kelly's on it, that's my Berliner Weiss. But the simple things doing well, like they had meat boards, cheese boards, olives and bread, mm-hmm, and bread and oils and things like that. Just things that groups can nibble on. Not overly expensive. And again, it's one of those places you could do the third. Like they'd obviously give you a mouthful to taste it, but I prefer kind of getting thirds myself.
And there we met Johnny Moran from
Brewdog
as well, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, because we actually didn't get to bump into Johnny up at the AGM because he runs their social media for them, so he's literally run off his feet. What did he say? He'd walked that day 15 miles or something?
On a broken toe.
Broken toe, yeah. So it was great to meet Johnny.
Legend.
And I'm delighted to say his smoky bacon tato crisp made it intact.
And we also caught up with Martin and Clayton there as well.
Yeah, who were there again from the South Essex bottle share from the night before. So it was great again to have a few beers with the guys.
From there, we went to the King's Arms, which was a nice, lovely, nice pub.
Hmm. Just off the main street in Bethnal Green, down Buckfast Street, I think is the name of the street it was on.
You've a better memory than I have, but, love.
That's only because I look back over the photos before we started. What did we have in there? Was it the Four Pure Fruit Box or Fruit Juice?
Juice Box.
Juice Box. Really juicy IPA.
Sounds like delicious. Something like you used to have as a kid. A juice box.
Yeah, it was really floral, not floral, citrusy, fruity beer.
Really good beer.
Really tasty. So from there we went down to Shoreditch to get the train over to Peckham to go around to Hot Birds Black.
But before we did that, we ended up in the White Horse, was it?
The White Horse in Peckham Rye. A total fluke of a find.
Oh, the cider, and blood orange cider in there. Oh, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah, so it was a total fluke of a find. Like, obviously, the main itinerary for Thursday was the Beer Clock Show live recording of their season finale.
Oh, where I finally got to meet Mark. That was just so cool.
And his Tato's made it as well.
Yeah, all six packs.
How you didn't munch at least one is beyond me.
I have no idea, but it was so good to actually finally meet him face to face.
Yeah, and you know, like the guys in Hot Burns Black, it's their third event I think they've done with them.
It was.
It was, you know, basically Hot Burns Black is a really popular bottle shop where they do chili sauce and sell vinyl as well.
And it was pretty awesome to be there for a live
recording really cool.
as well. It was just so much fun.
It's really cool, and some really great London beers on display. We did spy one Irish beer on the shelf, and that
woo-hoo!
Was White Hag.
White Hag.
White Hag.
Blind flag.
So, yeah, so hopefully, now I know the guys are on about taking in a few more Irish beers, so that would be great to see. For
and we gave them a few names to look out for and stuff
Like, obviously.
Hopefully something will happen there, get more Irish craft beer over that way.
Exactly, yeah. So it was really good night. Finished up there, and then we made our way back to Essex before we flew on the next day. So it was a pretty whistle-stop tour of the UK. So your highlights, you were saying...
My highlights was London.
London?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I actually didn't think London was as expensive
no,
as
neither,
I previously
neither,
thought it was going to be. I don't know why.
Neither did I.
I just thought, but maybe that's just because of the areas we were in. Maybe,
all the dirty chicken.
Getting the bus from Peckham back to the train station.
Going
we went over Tower Bridge.
Tower Bridge and
really,
all the
really
lights
cool.
and everything. Oh, that was amazing. Even though it was raining, but it was still amazing.
Yeah, and that's the type of thing you'd get on one of those hop-on, hop-off bus tours that it costs you.
That was a nice little surprise at the end
of the day. Yeah, so that was nice. So we basically had a really good visit. We got to see so many different parts of... you know, Edinburgh, that people recommend. The name of the dim sum place, was it the Stack Bar?
The Stack.
Was just exceptional. It was like being in someone's living room.
Yeah.
But the food was just so good. I think there was only one dim sum we didn't really like, and that was the kind of steamed ribs.
Yeah,
everything else, all the dumplings were just so good. But yeah, had a great time. So thanks
to everyone.
I got
to have two collab bakes, two batches of brownies.
Yeah. You did?
They went well.
They did? They were wolves?
Oh, the first one was amazing. The first batch was amazing. It was made with a chili chocolate and then a lime chocolate. But in the lime chocolate, there was actual bits of lime. And that really came through in the brownies and they were just nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, they went down really well at the bottle share that night. So, obviously, just want to thank everyone who came out and... Or even people who just came over and said hi at BrewDog AGM and things. Just everyone who made the trip so much fun. Steve particularly for putting
Massive
us up.
Massive thanks for putting us up.
All the gang in the South Essex Bottle Share. Great to meet you all.
It was just so much fun.
But yeah. So
a trip I'll never forget. So thanks everybody for being a part of it.
Yeah, well now we know it's not that actually far away. So we might have to go back sooner rather than later. Now, what are you thinking on this beer now? It's kind of settled down a bit.
It's really opened up a lot, hasn't it? It's going really well with my chocolate.
It's very, very boozy. To me, anyway. I can just taste a lot of the bourbon.
A lot, yeah.
I'm just trying to...
It's still so smooth, though. I honestly thought it was going to feel a lot thicker.
A little bit thin?
It's a bit thin for me. It's very thin and very boozy.
Yeah, the thing maybe that's affecting the head is maybe just the cold brew coffee. Cause remember where we chatted to Cahill and Rascals previously about that? I think they had a coffee-infused red
IPA. Literally no head. There isn't even a bubble. There's nothing.
But then the head isn't where all the flavour is, and it's all in the liquid. But no. Yeah, really good beer for a big, big thing. I wonder how that would go in the brownies.
We are going to sip on this for the rest of the evening. Definitely.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, I thought we would have got into one of the abstract beers, but I think this is going to just be a sipper.
A sipper for the evening?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so obviously it's the 17th of April, and this podcast obviously is going out just before Equity Punks finishes, so there is maybe 3 days left if you wish to invest in BrewDog Equity Punks.
Using referral code or
237208.
There you go.
Obviously, if that's something that interests you, work away. It does get you the annual AGM invite,
which is worth it alone.
People. Discounts online, discounts in all the bars, and obviously Equity Punk exclusives, as in first to buy any of the BrewDog special releases. And if BrewDog do open, or when BrewDog opened their bar in Dublin, you get obviously first dibs and first night in to see the place first. So if you're doing it, go for it. It's been a cracking episode. Really enjoying this beer. Yeah. Great landmark occasion. 20 episodes in, 7 years married. Great partnership. I'm not going to get too soppy now.
No, the beer must be going to your head.
Yeah, I think I've had enough.
Well, I'm at Mrs. Beer Snob on Twitter. I'm Mrs. _Beersnob on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm at Irish Beer Snob, Twitter, Instagram, Untapped.
We're Irish Beer Snob on gmail.com.
So yeah, we're easy enough to find. So obviously, if you like our podcast, please rate and review us on iTunes. For those that listen on Android, we just please subscribe to the RSS and recommend us to your friends. It's been great again to share our experiences. Obviously, the Mother Kelly's, definitely do not miss it when you go to London. It's a top class venue.
And please stick around for the interview with Bill from Victory Beer.
Yeah, so thanks very much.
Cheers, guys.
So, good afternoon, all our listeners. We are live from the BrewDog Equity Punk AGM 2016. As you all know, Janice and I are proud Equity Punk investors in BrewDog, and we have Bill here from Victory Brewing, who is here to chat to us about Victory, which is a brewery we've only recently got to find and see on our shelves in Ireland.
Yeah, true. Our sojourn to Ireland has been a long one. We've been open for 20 years, and it's taken us a while to get there. But I think that because of the good work that you and other people are doing, the timing is right to be presenting our beers in Ireland.
Yeah, and like, obviously, you partnered with Paul in Four Corners, and they're a really great distributor. They bring in really good range of products as well. So when you were thinking, let's do something in Ireland, were you thinking, is the Irish public ready for Victory?
You know, I don't like to overthink it.
Just do it?
To some extent. You don't really want to set yourself up for business failure, but you want to, when you have an enthusiastic partner like Paul, then you have a pulse of the audience.
Yeah.
And you can't know everything about the audience until you live with the audience, which I'd love to do, but home is kind of far away.
Yeah.
So you trust other people to give you the right clues in order to lead you to the right decisions.
Exactly. And I think I remember walking into an off-license and seeing Hop Devil on the shelf, and I was like, I've not seen that before. But I've seen that sticker before because I've seen it in places around the UK. So obviously picking it up. But from reading into it, obviously you're 20 years old. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, it's a great achievement. I'm sure 20 years ago seems like 5 minutes in the sense that you were probably extremely highly pressurized when you started out to where you are now. But I suppose 20 years is a long time in business. If you were looking back now, what advice would you give yourself at that point?
Patience is probably the key thing. We had so many things we wanted to accomplish in the early stages that we rushed towards things, but we always kept our integrity in terms of the beers that we wanted to brew. So we actually distributed further afield in the United States than we probably should have. Now we've been able to retain all of those markets and grow all of those markets, but it's been costly at the same time, because you've seen what's happened in America, yeah. where there's been all this backfilling. There's been this influx of breweries coming into places that you wouldn't have expected them to come to. And I celebrate that. That's true vitality. We've stimulated something that is addressing the consumer interest. But at the same time, from a business standpoint, it starts to encroach on what you're doing.
Yeah, it's that balance between, yeah, this is great, rising tide lifts all mm-hmm. boats, and then you've obviously got your own.
Yeah.
Like, we have to look after our own corner here. Obviously, from looking at your website and everything, you've got your several locations, brew pubs, mm-hmm. Very ecologically efficient brewery, which
yes.
the lads in BrewDog obviously have announced that 300.
They
figured that out as well. 300 hectoliter brew system, which they recycle so much of the energy. What was the support like in the local area? Because I think I know in Ireland, mm-hmm. parochially speaking, a lot of the guys locally find it very difficult to get support locally. They might say be based an hour from Dublin.
Right.
But they will view their primary market as Dublin, Cork, Galway.
Yeah.
That rather than going, let's look and concentrate on the restaurants and bars within a 30-mile radius of where we are. What was the initial support and the continued support in the local area for you?
That's a great question. I think you'll realize that I answered the last question with the term patience, and patience
yeah.
is a very important virtue in business. We had to create our own pubs because on paper our business wasn't viable as just a brewery that would ship kegs to other people. And then, of course, by opening a restaurant, we had all a bunch of locals who said,
yeah.
well, geez, now you're my competition.
Yeah.
You're doing exactly what I do. So it was one of those situations where we talked about quality more than anything else when
yeah.
when we spoke with the local pubs about our beer. And we said, we're offering you something that is distinctively different from all the other offerings that you're being given by other beer wholesalers. And we can probably do a burger or a pizza as well as you can. And we didn't mean it to be challenging in saying that, but we meant it to be provocative.
Yeah.
And so it's time that we were trying to put them on notice that it was time for them to get a sense of the changes that were coming. Get ready. Yeah. Get on board with this. This craft beer thing, we have a ton of passion in. We weren't going to stop doing what we were doing.
Yeah. That's very evident as well, like from looking at your website. Previously, the traditional brewing methods, it's a German brew house you have, is it?
We have a German-built brew house, and we both study brewing in Germany.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the exciting beers for us in the early 80s when
yeah.
we first began drinking beer.
But you've married that German tradition with innovation and ingenuity. Because obviously the United States is rightly regarded as the avant-garde, the wave of where it's coming. Like American brewers have taken a style like an IPA and just
right.
done their own thing.
But we came from we were the back of the pack.
Yeah.
You know, America was just in a bad place.
It's
so
amazing how it's changed, though. Like, mm-hmm. Europe has gone that way. Like, Europe is drowned in pale yellow lager. Thanks to the efforts of AB InBev, Heineken,
mm-hmm.
and et al. But it's great to see, you know, obviously you guys did your formal brewery training in
yes.
Germany. Obviously we're seeing Stone opening in Germany shortly. But it's also great for us to be able to see your product come in. Like, for someone who's not maybe technically,
mm-hmm.
in terms of, well, what am I drinking here? What difference does using whole flower hops make to the product? And as opposed
yeah.
to using dried leaf or pellets? Because that's a very unique selling point.
We have placed a huge investment in whole flower hops because we believe it gives us a broader range of flavor. We've tested it through all of our beers in terms of how they actually impact the palate. And by not processing your hops into pellets and oils, you actually retain a lot more oils and you don't degrade the actual hop itself. So we're firm believers in it, yet at the same time, I would never knock a brewery that doesn't do it that way because
yeah.
they have a different vision
of
what they're
style.
Trying to achieve. So for us and our beers, whole flower hops are of critical importance, and I think that environmentally, they're well supported as well.
Yeah, so you must be very friendly with the local farming community for your
mm-hmm.
spent grains and everything there. Does that come full circle then with the meat products you use in your brew pubs and restaurants as well?
It does to a certain extent. We actually have such high volume restaurants. We have nearly 900 seats of hospitality in three locations that we can't purchase animals that have been fed on all of our grain. But we do have those relationships, and we're trying to grow them more strongly. And we really come from the breadbasket of Pennsylvania. Our neighbors are Amish and Mennonite farmers. So we are in a region that is very food and quality aware, which has certainly given our ideas a lot more lift than they might have had otherwise.
It's probably given you a certain focus as well, because you want to kind of keep with the traditions of the area you operate in as well. I suppose the talk about Hop Devil and Dirt Wolf is your double IPA. Like, as you can probably guess, I do like a hoppy.
it's what you haven't got a whole lot of. So,
but
yes.
Again, like things like the Prima Pils. You know, it's. I think some breweries make the mistake of going, well, this is what I'm going to brew and whatever, and that's fine. But ultimately, it is a business. At the end of the day, you're not doing it for charitable reasons.
Yeah, you've got a lot of employees to look
after.
You've
got your employees. You've got yourselves, and you want to bring something to the market that's different. So, what's your favorite product in the Victory range at the moment? And I was looking through some of the beers, and I was going, well, I've never seen that over here. And we kind of see, like I know we had the Summer Love last year, and that was we didn't get much of a summer in Ireland, but rarely do.
But you still loved every moment of it.
I still really enjoyed that beer, and I'll rephrase the question, because it's very difficult to put someone on the spot like that. A go-to beer where you go, look, I've had a day at the office, and you know, you go home, and you just kicking off the shoes, you're watching a game on the TV. What's the beer?
Well, I'll do you a fair one on that. I'll answer both questions simultaneously. My beers are my children. I have to love them all. But at the same time, Prima Pils is the beer that if you were to cut me, I would probably bleed Prima Pils. Because it has a refreshment aspect to it, and it has a depth of flavor to it. It's very food friendly. Yeah. I'm not a volume beer drinker.
No.
But that beer is right for a good session of beer.
The old sessionability, that's big in the vocabulary over in this part of the world in particular. As I've always said, it's very difficult to brew a sessionable low ABV beer with tons of flavor and not sacrifice something along the way. Prima Pils is a great beer, works with a lot of different foods. Like I said, Dead Pony Club by BrewDog, very low ABV, works with a lot of foods.
Sure.
You could sit on the porch, have a six-pack, and you'd still be able to function somewhat. But then the second part, you mentioned Prima Pils as one of yours. If you bled Prima Pils, what would be your absolute favorite?
My absolute favorite from our line?
We're not going to say that you're picking a favorite of your children now. This is beer now we're talking about.
All right, that's fair question. I'll accept that. I have had many, many enjoyable moments with our Storm King Stout. Our Storm King Stout is an Imperial Stout, which actually when you read BA and Rate Beer, sometimes it gets knocked down a little bit because people say, well, it's not really an Imperial Stout. It's a black IPA. I don't spend time trying to find the differences there. I just find such an incredible comfort in the
beer.
I
enjoy drinking this. So that's a kind of nice segue. What importance does a brewery like Victory with 20 years experience place on websites like Rate Beer, Untappd, which has made it even more accessible for people to instantly review beers? You got to say, well, look, we have to take some of it as feedback, because you will always get someone who is spiteful sometimes with the kind of commentary. Do you guys take on board the things you hear there?
We embrace the fact that this is raw, unpolished commentary. This is exactly the impact that beer is having on people. As long as people are being honest and genuine in sharing their opinions, it's a marvelous place to gain knowledge and insight from. If people are being disingenuous and being malicious, that usually is, the crowd usually figures that out.
Yeah.
But we don't live or die on that. We feel that it's an accurate reflection of the public, and we promote it as much as we can.
Yeah, because I've seen a number of situations recently where employees of some of the larger industrial brewers in the United Kingdom in particular have been going on to likes of Untappd and rating negatively independent small breweries' beers, like saying things like not. Like, there's a way to deliver criticism, and me personally, if I ever have a bad product from a brewery, I usually either send them an email directly, or if I know them personally, I'll pick up the phone and go, guys, this is what's happened. But in this particular instance, what was happening was, it was the feedback was, it's just awful, and gave it one star on Untappd. Whereas, like, that doesn't help. That's not right. constructive. So, obviously, constructive feedback is very important. But you guys, I'm sure, do extensive quality checking on products and sensory training and tasting and everything before anything ever gets close to the market. So if someone is being a little bit unfair, it's very difficult to view that as valid criticism. Whereas if someone is saying, well, I've got a bottle and I opened the lid and it just went all over the kitchen ceiling, then there may be an issue there. Mm-hmm. But like that level of description can even help you as a brewer to say, well, we might have had an issue there.
Yeah, no, we actually do use it as a resource to try and track down anything that looks like it's valid and it's problematic. But, you know, I'm an optimist. I wouldn't be in business if I wasn't. No. So I believe that the community that is fostered around great beer is, to a certain extent, self-correcting. So if, you know, legitimately big brewers are trying to influence things by just peppering lots of negative comments on craft brewers, I'd like to think, as the optimist, that that's going to sort itself out.
The majority of the group, in particular, in that instance I quoted, they definitely were like, yeah, well, a little bit of digging. It's amazing the internet, what it can do these days. You're like, yeah, well, we've kind of found out who you work for, so you might want to retract what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like anonymous saying, we're going to do this to that person if they don't do this. I suppose you're in Aberdeen today. Are you in the area for a little while longer, or when do you go back to the eastern?
I've actually been in the north of England for the majority of this week, and unfortunately I won't be able to stay in Aberdeen much longer. I enjoy the culture up here. No, it's not the weather. I'll probably be going to the same nonsense when I get home. It's just that I've got a business and family at home, and I've been on the road for over a week, and this is reaching the end. But what a great climax. Come on. What? The BrewDog AGM?
It's one of the highlights of our beer calendar year. And like, I suppose living in Ireland, we have a number of local highlights. And it'd be great to see you come over maybe later in the year to sample some of those. Particularly the Irish Beer Festival in September time is where all of the Irish brewers get together, have a big hoolie, big exhibition of all the best beers in the country. It's definitely... If you want to see what's going on in the Irish beer scene, that's the time of year to come.
A big Irish hoolie in September. Boy, that sounds compelling. I definitely do want to see this.
I'm pretty sure Paul can arrange that. thanks very much for your time.
Great questions.
I'm looking forward to having a few beers down below with you, maybe, if you're around.
We'll go off to that. Cheers.
Thank you very much.
The Irish Craft Beer subreddit is the best way to keep pace with all the latest news, views, reviews and interviews relating to the Irish craft beer scene. Check out the subreddit at www.reddit.com/r/IrishCraftBeer and join the revolution.